Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Hello and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm Hayden, aka Doss. Now, you might be wondering where the soothing monotones of Jonathan Crockett have disappeared to in this intro, as well as the pure comedic timing of the Draft Doctors podfather, Stevie Fizz, throughout the show. Well, they have handed us the reins for a world-first, Crockettless and Fizzless Draft Doctors show. Joining me this week, it is not the third McLaughlin brother, but in fact the third Corns brother. Much like his brother Kane, he is quickly becoming the source of a bunch of Draft Doctor hot takes, the latest putting Dangerfield number one in his overall rankings. Welcome, Cam Corns.
Oh, Corns, jeez. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Now, sticking by that Dangerfield call, nothing's changed in the last week?
Nothing's changed. And I also just want to, you know, big shout out to Stevie and Jono for you know, passing the torch on a little bit and splitting the show. So we're doing it over the next couple of weeks. There's going to be AFL Fantasy rankings and then Supercoach rankings as well, which is pretty good. And so this is your team for the AFL Fantasy rankings, as far as I know it. And I love that they've given us the first, you know, they've put so much faith in us that they've given us the ruck rankings. That is just scraping the bottom of the barrel. But thanks anyway. We'll make do best we can, I guess.
Show on the faith. Also, on the show, back from a few weeks hiatus, it's the breakfast salad man himself, the Statesman. How was the holiday season for you, Stato?
It was wonderful, and welcome to you, Doss. And I'm sure that Cam is feeling relaxed with the absence of angry stepdad Fizz on the outer this week. So let's get the ruck on with it.
Certainly. Hey, what is the go-to combination for the breakfast salad, Statesman? What do you go with?
Look, it's to be fair, it's the best thing you can do for your body. Seeing I've got a nice juice going right now, is put fresh vegetables into your system along with a bit of fruit. So anything goes.
I like it.
I'm not against, and I will say I've never really understood why we have to have toast or cereal for breakfast. If there's a damn good curry cooked the night before, why can't you eat that for breakfast? And I know that shocks a few people, but why the hell not? Good food is good food. You just have it whenever it's available.
You mentioned a bit of fruit in there. What's your stance on mangoes? I heard some massive call from Steve last week that they're gross. Didn't he say that?
This juice I'm wearing now is based on mango. And a fair bit of the old, as you can see, it's pretty red and dense, with a fair few berries in it as well.
Mangoes are delicious. All right, before we go into the rankings, what are both your general thoughts about rucks in this year's draft, like regarding rule changes, potential ruck duo setups, new personnel around the league, as well as the value of rucks in our overall draft setup? Cam, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so I actually think in the first couple of rounds, you'll see probably two rucks go. And then there's probably going to be a pretty big gap. And it's there's two thoughts that I have. The first one is that no one really knows how tap rucks are going to be affected by the new rules. I think it's a bit of a misnomer to say that because there's going to be less ruck contests, they're going to get less points because they're still a big body and they're still athletic. So for me, there's still a little bit to play out there in the JLT. And the second one is that I think you'll see a general drop back to about mid-80s for a lot of the primo ruckman. So I think that there'll be ruckmen that sit from 80 downwards. That will be quite common, and there'll be a big group. And then there'll be the primo being Grundy above a Hundy, and then there'll be Gorn, and you know, we'll go through the rest in the show.
No worries. All right, well, without further ado, we'll be going off Cam's top 20 ranks, five at a time, I think. Let's start with your top five Dream Team ruck ranks, starting with Rhys Stanley at number one.
Yeah, that's right. So I didn't think there was going to be anything contentious with that, so we might just move on to number two and go with Grundy. Grundy at number two. So before Steve just sends me some kind of stare, you know, through my, because I'm going to get cold for that. But let's go with Grundy at one, Gorn at two, Goldie at three, Steph Martin at 4, and finally Witts at 5. Discuss.
Well, the difference, yeah, the difference I have with the top five is I've gone Sam Jacobs in the fifth position, and I know both at Supercoach and Dream Team that the boys have got him much lower. I think that's a reaction to his 2018 season, and I think everyone in Adelaide, Rory Sloane included, we can just put a line through 2018, go back to when they were well sorted and happy little campers in 2017, and reset from there. The facts are that with Sam Jacob, he's been in the top six ruckmen for 4 of the past 5 years, and he's clearly the main man. Now, there's a lot of discussion happening with Maxi Gawn right now. We also understand that Stephen Martin has an understudy. So you've got two of the top five that you just named there, Cam, that have got actual question marks of what's going to happen there. There's one guarantee that Sam Jacobs, I know he's not going to be elite. He's never given us 100+, but he's given 3 years in the 90s. He's definitely a secure, solid ruckman, and I think he needs to remain in the top five here.
Is there a chance that they start trying to play him with a second ruck, or at least give a young ruck a try? Because it seems like he has just had the number one mantle here forever, and they haven't even given anyone else a shot, which is kind of shooting him in the foot a bit for their future. Is there a chance, I don't know, someone else, the Riley O'Brien or something, gets a chance this year? Because he's like, Sam Jacobs is 30 now, and that some of that failure could just be a bit of regression, couldn't it?
Oh, look, to be fair, I think, and I'm the greatest ageist there is, but ruckmen have a little bit of a different rule. Their drop-off year isn't 30, it's about 32, depending on how their body is. This man's solid as a rock, and they've actually got a forward who can fill in and host that part-time ruck position. So they don't actually need to have a second ruck. So if someone else is going to come in, Sam Jacobs is actually dropped. Now, while he's the number one man, there is no way outside injury that he is going to be moved on or given a rest as such. So Sam Jacobs is the man at Adelaide. It's a fair point of saying what's happening with the future, but I think they're just going to deal with that when it happens.
Are you a little bit worried about maybe, because I think mobility will be the biggest strength of ruckman this year, and so if you've got someone like, you're Maxi and Grundy, who can sort of run all day, they're going to get to more contests and subsequently more stoppages, which I think are going to be less predictable as where they are in 2019. Sam Jacobs, I genuinely don't know, but he seems like a lumbering ruck. Like, can he be that I'm going to run all day ruckman, or will that force his points further down on last year because he doesn't get to as many contests?
I think he plays that drop back into place marking ruckman quite well. Yes, he's probably not going to be used as a link player as much as Brodie Grundy, but there is already that 30-point difference between the two. So I don't think that gets any bigger, to be honest. I am a little bit concerned with the rules because I just don't know how they're going to land. Coaches will be working on this very, very closely, and we just don't know what to expect until we see it. I know Doss is a huge South Park fan, and the reality is that the episode of Captain Hindsight is where we're going to be after these rule changes play out for probably 6 rounds.
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to go through your ranks 6 to 10, Cam, unless anyone else has got any more comments from there?
I will say that Goldie has the real potential with a question mark for Gawn. He'd actually go back to be one of the top two. 93 was a bit of a drop year. He's had some concerns over the last couple of years, but with Proust moving on, which is what's creating the Gawn issue, Goldie's now clearly the number one and probably the only ruck option for North Melbourne. We actually know he can play every game, and we know he can run out every game. There's potential that he's back in the 100 pluses, and we know he's actually capable of giving us 110 plus. And he's one of the few that we can say we know him, Sam Jacobs, and arguably Grundy are the three that we can say definitely they are the number one ruck all year.
Fair enough. Cam, do you want to give us your, what was it, 6 to 10?
Yeah, so for number 6, I've got the Nank, followed by Cruiser at 7, Westhoff at 8, I've got Jacobs at 9, and Big Boy at 10.
All right, what are your thoughts here? Statesman of yours, any different to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Cam's got no idea, to be honest. It's really tough, the 6 to 10 mark, because there's a lot of what-ifs. So McAvoy, we know, is actually a top 10 ruckman, but Hawthorn play the dual ruck. So Segler coming back and being fitter probably means he drops from being a close to a 90 averaging to being a high 70s, low 80s. So where that makes him fit is anywhere between 6 and 15, depending on what happens at the other clubs. So that certainly is an issue. Cruiser is really only a health issue. He's a top 5 ruckman, but is he going to stay fit for the whole year is the big question. Witts, I think, has got great scoring ability. So I've got him around that sort of same mark. I've got him, I think it's 6. Nank, I do believe we've seen probably the best of his scoring. I've dropped him down to 8 because Sean Grigg won't be his relief. Richmond learnt from that preliminary final. That's not going to happen again. But how are they going to work through that ruck issue is a big question mark. Another hindsight thing. Westhoff as well is the one that I'm thinking, well, he had a lot of opportunities, but obviously that's changed dramatically with the recruitment of Lysette. And the other one that we're missing, who I've actually put in the top 10, and no one else is seriously considering, is a person who was in the top 6 ruckman this year in Cam Sinclair. Now, again, a hindsight issue. Are we going to see Sydney say, well, this worked and we got the best out of this player by having him as a standalone ruck? Obviously, his workmate in Naismith is coming back from an ACL. Do they slowly build him in or they play the two ruck option? The only thing that keeps me from putting Sinclair into the top 6 is purely and simply I can't see the forward that can actually pinch hit for them and make him rest. So maybe that makes him play two ruckman. So I'm a little bit unsure whether Sinclair ends up being a forward ruck or whether he remains that number one ruckman. If he remains a number one ruckman, I've been very conservative to have him at 10.
Is Naismith back for the start of the season, or is he a little way away?
He hasn't commenced full training yet. So we're talking he did the ACL in March. So it may take a bit of time. And as we see with ruckman, they probably need a little bit longer for recovery because of the stress they put their body through, especially in the centre bounces.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Cam, any other thing you want to sort of clarify in that 5 to 10 range?
I think that's pretty spot on. I mean, the differentiator being Sinclair. So I've got him down at 14 and we'll go through that a little bit shortly. But I there was a comment that Statesman had just then around someone, person X, could be anywhere from 6 through to 16. And I actually think that's this entire bracket. So you could have... There's an argument for or against everyone that we're about to mention, I think. And there's probably... it's a wait-and-see factor on that entire middle tier, I think.
And I think this is why when drafting ruckman, unless you can get Grundy, Gawn, or maybe Goldie, unless you can get them early, just take them late. Because you could probably find, like Cam Sinclair... for 2018, you might pick him up in the 200s in round 20 of your draft and end up with a top 6 ruckman. And that's quite capable actually happening in 2019 because seriously, we don't know how these rules are going to affect individual players, but also the teams and what the coaches and how they're going to utilise their ruckman. So you're better off, yes, if you get Grundy late in round 1, snaffle him up, and then on the way back, pick up your next best midfielder. There's no no hassles with doing that. But everyone else, so the ones that are 6 to 16, you should be picking up very late in the draft. And you're actually wasting a draft pick if you take them any earlier than that.
All right, before we get into the second half of our top 20, thanks to all the Draft Doctor listeners, both new and old, for season 2019. Don't forget that you can support the hashtag brand by dropping a review on whatever podcast format you listen on, whether it's iTunes, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, etc., etc. Jump on and leave a review. It gives something for Stevie Fizz to read out in Ararat when he gets the dial-up working. All right, Cam, take us through your ruck ranks 11 to 15.
Rightio. So 11, we'll go with Big Bell Chambers. 12, we're going to go with Reece Stanley, former number one, but now number 12. Mumford in at 13. Sinclair, as I mentioned, 14. And Lysette rounding out the top 15.
Okay, I need to be stepdad here. How can you say Stanley is sitting at number 12? Because we don't know which one of the 16 rucks each week that they're going to select in that position.
Yeah, so, and this is all based on theory and, you know, expertise statement, so I'll take you through it. But basically, I feel like, again, I think the most successful rucks in 2019 are going to be those that are agile and good athletes, those that can run all day. And Stanley, you know, whilst his traditional tap winning ability has sort of seen him in and out of the team, his athletic ability is through the roof. Like, he's an amazing runner. I genuinely think that, you know, he gives a little bit of hideaway. He's not a great contested mark, but there's probably less contested marks that are going to be won by rucks anyway. He's going to be running around. He's going to be that sort of additional link player through that mid. And even if they choose to play a, you know, Tank Abbott or a, or, you know, for those UFC...
Zach Smith.
They're going to be filling one portion of the field, but it won't be the midfield. The midfield will be Reece Stanley's. And that's what I genuinely think could be an underrated prospect this year.
Yeah, I just have no faith in the Geelong system when it becomes to ruck. And I'm a little bit concerned with their midfield and their forward group too, of who actually gets the time. And I think that's why probably Dange ends up being so important when it comes to it, because you just know he's one, whether he's going to be up forward or whether he's going to be in the midfield, he's going to score for you. I'm less confident with a lot of other players. Mitch Duncan just dropped away this year, and it's because they had too many midfielders.
What's the deal? So with the old snorter, Shane Mumford up there at number 12, is there a similar range for you, Statesman, as well?
Yeah, I think, again, it's that clear model of saying, well, you know Mumford is going to be the number one ruck. Now, body's going to be an issue, and whether, you know, the resting of 12 months is a good or bad thing. It wasn't so great for Wayne Carey back in the day. But the year off could have refreshed, got over the little niggles, and he'd be able to plough through a season. So I actually rate him a little bit higher because you just know he's going to be number one. And I'm probably thinking Bell Chambers, who I ranked at 11 as well, of whether he is going to share the role. Now, if he shares the role, then I'd rather Mumford over Bell Chambers. But at the moment, I'm thinking, well, they probably got Zach Clark for backup rather than to be the second ruckman.
Okay.
Yeah, and with Mummy as well. So he has done a hammy already.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's done a hammy.
He's now down 22.
But I still think, so he in the off while he's been away, I'm pretty certain, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, he was training to be a boxer. He wanted to start fighting professionally. And I don't know if either of you two lads have trained boxing before, but it is intense. You will get your cardio up through the roof with that. So I think he would have still been in pretty good condition coming into the preseason, pending if he kept that up. The last I heard was probably around July, so he's had at least 6 months to drop off the face of the earth and come back. But he has had the hammy, but I still think he could be, you know, quite good.
Yeah,
he actually... And misses the first 2 weeks as well, I think, which is probably his position a bit. Sorry, Doss.
No, you're right. He did actually win his second fight ever as a fighter last year, I think, when he was having the year off. His first, of course, being smashing down Mitch Duncan with the big KO the year before. No, there's a video. I think there's a video up somewhere. He did knock out his first opponent in the ring. I don't know if it was boxing or MMA or whatever it was, but he is a beast. So hopefully he's fit and firing. I'm just surprised. I think you'll get to the ranks for the next people, but I'm kind of surprised he's above some of the people coming up, because I think, well, I'll name the guy. I think Scott Lysette is one that's pretty low at the moment, because he's not named for either of you yet, is he?
He's 15 for me.
And he was 15 for me as well.
And I had Ryder at 14. So I just don't know how to work through those three from Port Adelaide. And I think all three play if and when fit.
I just had the feeling the whole point of recruiting Lysette was to give him bulk ruck minutes, because Ryder's done... His Achilles just seemed like that was a big thing, wasn't it? And Achilles for a player his age now, I feel like they're just trying to be like, okay, he's still athletic, he's still good, but let's just rest him forward and give Lysette a lot more ruck minutes to ease the load. I just would have thought that's a more stable choice than a bloke 32 years old coming back and off a year of wrestling basically.
So the Achilles, it's more about an Achilles for a man his size is the thing. It's not about Achilles for a man his age, because I think he's still coming in under 30 or just on 30, Paddy Ryder. So he's still got time left, but when you consider the amount of jumping that's involved in the ruck work versus the amount of jumping and that's involved in forward work, it's significantly less. So they will. I agree with you in regards that they'll rest him for. They'll play him forward, more likely than not. But he will pinch hit in the ruck, and that Lysette will be the dominant ruckman. That being said, I don't see them either of them as being a massive scoring force in 2019. Hence Lysette at 15, and actually we'll go through Ryder in the next five.
All right, why don't you take us through the 16 to 20, Cam?
So I've got 16 as Tim English. He's second year, so Statesman's not interested, but I think he'll be quite good. 17 is Ryder. 18, Sean Darcy. And, you know, note that he's ahead of Sanderlands, and we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. 19, Tom Hickey. And finally, 20, Jaws himself, Aaron Sanderlands.
Is English third year? I think English is third year.
Yeah, he is.
Ah, oh, I was hoping to get a leg up on Statesman. Oh, mate.
No, you don't. I will say, I do need to ask the question of why do you think Darcy's actually ahead of Sanderlands?
Yeah, so two things. One, Sanderlands is 105, is the first. And the second, is that I don't think... As I was saying before, around the more athletic ruckman being more successful this year, he is not athletic at all. I genuinely think his spot in the team and in the game has moved past him, and we'll see him probably be less effective. If they play him in the first couple of rounds, I think he'll be less effective, and then he'll drop out for Darcy for the rest of the season.
If I was secure that Darcy was the number one selected ruckman for Fremantle, because they'll only play one, because remember they've got Rory Lobb down forward, that'll be the second ruck, I would actually have Darcy in the top 10.
Wow. Darcy. Oh, I'm lower on Darcy as a long-term and short-term prospect. I don't know if that's a hot take or not. He's the style of ruck that I think, Cam, you were alluding to like earlier in the show about the guy that's the big lumbering bloke that does a lot of hit outs and doesn't do a whole lot around the ground, which is where you're saying athletic players is where the game's heading. And just looking, I did some numbers here. He scored 45% of his total score from hit outs, which was about top six, and there's some guys that just don't play in that category as well. He's probably third of players that are actually playing regular games, behind actually Sanderlands as one of those. So I just think he's one of the guys that gets a bulk numbers from fantasy from just getting the hit outs, and I'm concerned about him being a guy that can move around the ground unless he drops serious kegs and just becomes that player.
And I don't think he will. So he's 24,
He's young. No. He's 20.
23?
He's 20.
20?
Yeah, his third season. And I tell you who he reminds me of
older.
As a young ruckman is Brody Grundy.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So the first season that I saw him where he played 11 or 12 games, averaged around the 85 mark, the first thing that popped into my head going, this is a young Brody Grundy. Now, yes, there was a lot of puppy fat, but that's what three pre-seasons should do is fix that. So if he does get that endurance base right, I think he has great scoring potential.
Okay. Well, you are the keeper beast, so I'll trust your judgment on that one. But I remember I'm in a keeper at the moment, and I got rid of him in the for the fact that I've got Tim English, and I rate him as a much higher fantasy prospect personally. But
I do agree.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting as well is, so just because Sanderland signed on for another year doesn't mean they want him to play the year. So I'd suggest that he's potentially been signed for this year to mentor Darcy a little bit more. And provide that leadership to him so that he builds for the following year.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think Sanderlands is there to play as well. Sorry, Cam. So is that our final? That was the top 20, wasn't it? That's the total 20?
Yeah, that's...
I think there's two late draft gems here. One is Tom Hickey.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going to go, because they're always going to think Nick Nat's the man, and obviously they've got Vardy and a few other options. If he ends up being their number one ruckman for the majority of the year, he's going to pump you out an average in the 80s, and you will be able to pick him up in round 22. The other one is Billy Longer. Now, I'm unsure really what happens at the Saints, but if Billy Longer actually gets the number one ruck mantle and keeps it all year... Again, he's going to be within that top 20 system, and you'll pick him up probably from the waiver wire.
Yeah,
he's a great bench ruck option.
Guess the one player ahead of Aaron Sanderlands to score his most points from hitouts, 54% total points from hitouts. Your boy Billy Longer. But I don't think that's a bad thing in his situation, though. I don't know if that's a bad thing in his situation, though, because like they need the hitouts and that. But, yeah, interesting. All right, well, shall we get to some questions from social media? You can find us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or search The Draft Doctors on Facebook. Cam is at The Potato Bake. The Statesman is at Statesman33. And I'm at HKDOS. This one comes from Warney DT. Firstly, he asks, can you guys do my ranks for me? But seriously, I think a bloke like Brad Crouch will average 98. At what range do I rank him with other mids? Back him in to take him around 95 to 98 averaging players, or does the fear of a 15-game season take him to around the 85 to 90 average ranks? What do you guys reckon on that?
Yeah, there's no doubt that he should be a bargain. But if you're really hot on him, you have to go, because if you hang around, someone else will be hot and goes. But I'll try to sneak him through that extra two or three rounds from where his probably true value is if he plays every game, because there is the injury risk with him.
I think he's a good shout to go over a ton when he actually...
Agreed.
Yeah, so when he played every... He's been every pre-season for the last, I feel like, 5 years. The name on everyone's lips is Brad Crouch. And he's going to be breaking out. It's going to be amazing. Everyone's going to have a great time. Then he gets injured. And then we go through the whole rigmarole that we've just been through in 2018. But when he actually played, he was a gun. Like 104, 103. He was very, very good. I'd back him in to go over a ton if he plays. And as Statesman was saying, if you don't take him at what you'd value a 98, someone else will. I would find it hard-pressed in a 10-person league that someone doesn't see value in Brad Crouch at that level.
Very nice. This next one comes from at Mitchell Bagley 3. What's your thoughts on Harry Cunningham? Improved around 10 points last season and threw in a ton during finals. He reckons he has a high floor. Pretty sure he went 75 or over in 50% of games. Healthy later round pick. This is your wheelbag Statesman, the Sydney boy.
Yeah, I didn't realise he had ruck status, to be honest. But Cunningham... I think he's a waiver wire, to be honest. I think he's decent value. It all depends how deep your league is. If you've got a 12-man league and you're picking 30 players, then he is draftable. Other than that, I think he's one that you just fill your bench spots with, to be honest. I think he's good value. I think he's a solid player, and I think he'll play 22 games, but he's not going to be a breakout 85-plus scoring player.
All right, cheers. I reckon that's us for the B team. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.